Juice 2 is our first piece of news. We don't have follow-ups. We do have a couple of trailers, but I just had to get to this first. Beetlejuice 2 is actually happening. How crazy is this? All right. All right, nerds, we are back in it for another episode of the news. In this episode, we have a Daredevil update on the Daredevil TV series, as well as a lot of Flash in the rumor mill and a confirmation of a rumor that I honestly didn't think we were going to get confirmed. So real quick housekeeping before we get into the next section of the video is, or the episode, I guess. Is that, if you're following on the Twitter over a couple days ago, you got a lot of videos of the same thing from different angles. I was playing Halo on an Xbox that was not connected to my computer, so I couldn't exactly record the way I normally do, so I had to record it on the Xbox, then upload it to Twitter, because it's the only thing I actually have connected to the Xbox, so that I could then download that information onto the computer and then edit the video and then post it back up to, I'm pretty sure it went up to the Twitter. Either way, that's why there was random things happening on the Twitter that had to do with Halo. That, I believe, is all of the housekeeping. We are still doing the push, so, I can't really go more than an episode or two without mentioning the push, trying to get a few of our outlets over 1,000 followers. We are getting close on TikTok. We are getting close on the YouTubes. And honestly, we made a pretty decent jump on Instagram. So that's good headway, nerds. Keep spreading the word and keep coming back for more of the pop culture headlines, nerdy and all of the things. And yeah, that is what we've got for housekeeping and such. So let's do the shout outs portion of the video, because we have a bunch of shout outs. And actually, we're going to do something a little bit different in the shout outs this time. We'll get to that in a moment. So let's start in the Instagram shout outs. New followers for Instagram. We have Electric Lady 61904, Rahul Sharan 02, Mike _ Onassis, Bia _ Paris Pompeño. Thank you very much, nerds, for the follow on Instagram. That is at generally nerdy, all one word. Next is the bit of change that we're going to be, that we're addressing. I've been trying to respond to comments or give shout outs to commenters on the YouTube. And so now we're going to actually respond to those comments. We've had a few comments, what with the posting of a few of the proper reaction videos over the last couple of weeks. So we're going to get into that real quick. This is the viewer comments section for the YouTube. We don't have any shout outs because everybody who followed for YouTube over the course of the last week doesn't have their settings set to public, so unfortunately I don't have any shout outs proper, but we do have some comments, so let's get to those. So our first comment, the most recent comment, because we're just gonna go in reverse order, the most recent comment is from a YouTube user named Isopod, and they commented on the Orville Peck, the new Come On Baby Cry reaction video, was talking about the auto-tune, because there at the end of that song there is some auto-tune on Orville Peck's voice, and I said something about how it breaks my heart to hear that, because Orville Peck is not an artist, is not, country music is not a genre where that is something that happens with any sort of real regularity. That being said, Isopod definitely was not in agreeance with me in that whoever this person is, they appreciated the way that sounds, because hip-hop artists do it all the time, so why shouldn't Orville Peck? And that is a fair point. I don't like it on hip-hop artists either. I think it is a dumb studio trick that is very difficult to recreate live in any sort of quality way, and is actually very difficult to do on a record in any sort of quality way, and generally speaking, just has more of a diminishing effect on the vocal from the artist rather than any sort of enhancement. So that is the point. That is why I said that such things kind of break my heart when I hear it on an Orville Peck tune, because Orville Peck is a very, very talented vocalist and he can hit those notes. So why they decided that auto-tune was the way to go, I may never know. So that is that. Our next viewer comment comes, this one was just somebody appreciating the Orville Peck video. So Mr. Roro Suri, thank you very much for the love there. And I'm just assuming gender at this point because I have to. Thank you very much, sir. Our next one, oh, this one's gonna be fun. All right, so a YouTube user by the name of JM was commenting on the most recent reaction video from the Lorna Shore song. And in that song, I get into beat, not beat, displacement. We're talking about drum replacement. It is a thing in modern metal, especially the more aggressive styles like Black and Death, which is what Lorna Shore technically qualifies as, I would imagine, I suppose. And I made a comment about how I feel like over-quantization of drums and even drum replacement, where you replace the analog tone that you get from a human hitting a drum with a mallet and replace that with something digital and then line that up onto a grid, that becomes a mechanical thing and it loses any personal presence that that person on that kit could give. To quote, to paraphrase, I guess more appropriately, to paraphrase Dave Grohl, the sign of a good drummer is all you have to listen to is a few seconds and you know who they are. If that drummer is overly quantized and replaced, you can't know who they are because there's no more signature there. There's no more feel. Music is a good music anyway, is about feel. And that's the point I was trying to get to, is the tone replacement, the drum replacements, just you lose the human element. You lose the feel, you lose the soul, the essence of what music is, and that is an expression of emotion, expression of art to some degree. And that kind of production trickery really just is a red flag in some cases, or is just kind of a down mark in most, because it's not a make or break kind of thing. I still really, really, really like Lorna Shore. I still like a lot of bands that use this studio trick. I just, as a producer, would never do it myself. If you can't play the song you wrote, maybe you should practice a little more. That's all I'm really getting at. Anyway, so that's that one. Then we have another Orville comment, somebody appreciating the insight that I contributed to the conversation. YouTube username Kami, K-A-M-I. Thank you very much for your comment. I do try and add insight to the conversation. I've been doing these things for a very long time, so I feel like I have valuable insight to share, so I appreciate the recognition. Next is, and I love this person's username, YouTube user by the name of Washed Up Twitch viewer. This is from a very old video, Psychosexual's Baby on Fire, I'm pretty sure is the actual song. So I did two Psychosexual reaction videos. One of them had some technical difficulties, so it never got posted. But the one that posted, I'm pretty sure, was the Baby on Fire, which is like, come on, bro, you're taken from D'Antwoord at that point, because they have a much better song by the same name. Anyway, so this guy, the Washed Up Twitch viewer, was talking about how Psychosexual was only playing root notes. Agreed. They're an untalented band, and they actually have changed their band name since I recorded that video. I don't remember what it is now, but it's equally stupid. And we're moving on. We have another comment over on the Meshuggah reaction video this time. This is Danny Martinez talking about how everything that Meshuggah writes is actually in 4/4. I would challenge that notion. Yes, I do acknowledge that a lot of what Meshuggah does is is in 4/4. It just feels different, as I got into in that reaction video, because they do rhythm displacement. They have phrases that are longer than a single measure, though technically they are still in 4/4. Yes, I totally understand that, but honestly, rhythm displacement and crazy time signatures kind of, in a lot of ways in modern music, are kind of interchangeable, because it's all about feel and it's all about communicating that feel to somebody else. So there was another comment that we're going to address here in the video as well, from a user named Solomon, talking about rhythm displacement very specifically, trying to explain to me something that I already explained in the Meshuggah reaction video. Anyway, so Solomon says that if you listen to the snare and or the cymbals, usually those things are in 4/4. Yes, I never said anything to the contrary. The argument I was trying to make, or the point I was trying to make, I guess it wasn't really an argument. The point I was trying to make is rhythm displacement is very complicated in and of itself. Using odd time signatures, also very complicated. They kind of do them interchangeably. I know Thomas likes to do something in 4/4, but a lot of times, just because he has five measures of 4/4, doesn't mean that's necessarily the time signature he's playing in. Because if he's got five measures of 4/4 and then one measure of 3/4, maybe the actual time signature that they're playing in is something different. That's what I was going for. Just because you can feel the flow, the rhythm, the groove in 4/4 does not mean that's exactly where it is. Really, this is an argument of semantics when you boil it down as well, because is there a groove? Is it great to listen to? Can you understand the things that are going on outside of maybe this weird time signature argument that we're having? That's the only point that matters. Do you enjoy the music? I'm just trying to give a framework for people who may not listen to this kind of music, a way to enjoy or at least have the vocabulary to argue against something in this vein. So I feel like both of those comments are getting down into the semantics of music. And while that is fun, that is a good conversation to have. Adam Neely has a whole freaking channel on it. That might be oversimplification of what Neely does over on his channel. But either way, thank you very much, nerds, for the comments. We are moving right along. We have one for the Joker 2. This one actually comes from a longtime viewer. Travis Mitchell, Joker 2. I did a short over on the Nerd News Clips channel about the, like, it was a rumor from a few episodes ago, and it turned it into a short. He said that he really likes the idea of an imposter Joker movie. And Travis, bro, I really want to get into that conversation. So let's try and do that. I don't know, maybe in the comment section, maybe we can do like a Zoom call and I can record it and we can put it up on the channel. I think that is a really great mental exercise of who the Joker can be and who the Joker actually is and where those two things should cross and where they shouldn't cross. And just I in the comment I sent back, I said something about the thing that makes the Joker work is his ambiguity. So if you get too deep into who the Joker is or what he finds truly offensive, I think was kind of one of the points you were making, or something that he thinks has crossed the line, then you're getting a little bit too much into the Joker as a person and less as an idea. And Joker works best as an idea, and it's the opposite idea of what Batman is, and that's why the Joker can only work in the Batman end of the DC universe. Because if you get into Joker versus Superman, there's not a whole lot of the same dynamics. They don't work quite as well. They don't work nearly as well as we kind of see in the Injustice series. Anyway. So thank you very much, Travis, for the comment there. I really think this is something that would be a lot of fun to try and expand on. So hit me up. You follow on actually, I think, a couple of the outlets. So you know how to get a hold of me, boss. And then our final viewer comment comes from, what is this person's name? Master Ginger over again on the Clips channel because I finally figured out the way to get posted the things, the review, because I did the Matrix video. It was a few episodes back in December, I believe, and I cut that and put it up on the Clips channel because that whole episode basically was the Matrix argument. So if you go over to the comments section of the Clips version of that, wow. That's all. What the hell was that? Master Ginger, maybe sober up before you leave a comment because you're talking some crazy talk, bro. Yeah, so that being the case, that is the YouTube section of the shoutouts. It's really just viewer comments. So if you want your comment, you can go to the YouTube, either YouTube channel. And again, there is about to be a third YouTube channel, just kind of working out when I will have time to film those videos. But right now we do have the two main YouTube channels, Generally Nerdy and Nerd News Clips, where all of the shorts and stuff go. So next on shoutouts, we have Twitter shoutouts. We got a couple of new ones. New followers on the Twitter, we have Fred the Savage at Comics Fred, and then we have The One Being at Dr. Hexen. Thank you very much, nerds, for the follow. If you want your follow for Twitter, Twitter is at generally underscore nerdy. And actually, those two specifically followed because of my new announcement that I can finally make. Kamidogu, I am now writing for a Mortal Kombat fan site. So I can finally get all of these Mortal Kombat things out of me and not feel like I'm bogging down the news show. Though any big news for Mortal Kombat will still find its way here as well. I just am going to do a lot more of the smaller pieces over on Kamidogu. So Kamidogu.com is the place for that, or just, you know, go follow them on the Twitters and the Instagrams and so on and so forth. And then TikTok shoutouts, we actually have two, which is really bizarre because TikTok goes so fast. But we have K's IWVJYX. I think you might be a bot, but thanks for the follow. And then we have TT Valathium. That one I'm pretty sure is legit. Thank you very much, nerd, for the follow again at Generally Nerdy. And then our final one is we have a new Facebook follower, Ashish Kumar. Thank you very much, Ashish, for the follow. Welcome, nerds, to Generally Nerdy. This is the place to get your news once a week, twice a week if you join me for the live news show, or if you want to find me on any of the syndicated outlets, Nerdy Legion, Big Show Entertainment Network, so on and so forth. You can find all of that stuff linked at generallynerdy.net. All right, so shout outs out of the way. So TV streaming is where we're going now, and we have a few follow-ups. We have a Daredevil follow-up, the Daredevil Netflix universe. We talked previously about the fact that it is leaving Netflix, has left Netflix, I believe, at this point, and is going somewhere. They didn't say exactly what was going to happen until this morning. March 16th, you will be able to find Daredevil on your Disney Plus app. It was going to Disney Plus in other territories, just not here in the States. It is now officially going to be a part of the Disney Plus Marvel family on March 16th. So very interesting. Kind of opens up the door for a lot of possibilities down the road. So as that kind of larger conversation happens, we will be having that right here on the channel, so stick around. Our next follow-up, though, has to do with Crunchyroll. Remember, Crunchyroll bought Funimation, and the question was, now what's going to happen between Funimation and all of the other sub-branches they're in? So Funimation, VRV, and Wakanim, I think is how that, I've never heard of that service before, so I apologize if I'm not pronouncing it right. They are all officially being absorbed into Crunchyroll, which means if you have access to Crunchyroll, all of the content that is available on those three outlets, again, Funimation, VRV, Wakanim, those three are, all of their libraries are going to Crunchyroll, and so Crunchyroll is going to be the hub for anime, and that's kind of freaking awesome, not gonna lie. We have one more follow-up, and this one, I honestly couldn't remember if we'd actually touched on this in the show proper. I think we'd been talking about it to some degree, the reboot of Futurama. I know I mentioned it once, but we haven't really been keeping tabs on that. The reason why is I don't really have the greatest hopes that it's going to be as good as the original series. But now there's a little bit more of a light at the end of the tunnel as far as that is concerned. And that is because we have official word that John DiMaggio, who is the voice of Bender, is in fact going to be rejoining the rest of the cast as well. He was holding out. This is the part that we didn't really touch on. He was holding out for more money, effectively. More recognition, I think, is a little bit more accurate of a statement than just more money. But definitely it sounds like Hulu, who is doing this third revival, sounds like Hulu is going to be taking care of their cast, and DiMaggio agrees. So everyone is coming back. The gang's all here, as they say. So in trailers, we're moving from follow-ups over to trailers. We have one interesting trailer, and it comes from Adi Shankar. This is a new series on Netflix called Guardians of Justice, which sounds just as cheesy as it probably is. But Adi, this is unique in it for a number of reasons. First of all, the style of this series, it is going to be very much a mixed medium series. Multiple styles of animation. We have a bunch of live action stuff as well, and just it looks like they're just going to crisscross left and right, all and center. And also Adi Shankar, if you remember, Adi Shankar is the guy that brought us that crazy Power Rangers short with James Vanderbeek, and it was just bonkers and awesome in so many ways. And it's the what he's calling the bootleg universe. This is part of the Adi Shankar bootleg universe. Now Adi has corporate backing with Netflix, and it's very interesting. It's also very interesting because this is a superhero property that does not originate in comic. As far as I could find, because I did look into this, I could not find a comic book origin for this series. So this trailer is kind of bonkers and makes you want to go, I just want to watch this series to figure out what the hell this all means. So yeah, the trailer definitely worth a watch. That's what we have for the trailers portion. So let's move into news. And we have Metropolis, the series, in the news. And not Metropolis, DC's Metropolis, but Metropolis from the 1927 film Metropolis, the silent film, the black and white that hopefully you have seen. If not, I've got to add that to the suggestions portion of this episode. But we do have a Metropolis series is going to Apple TV Plus. Showrunner is going to be Sam Esmail, who was the showrunner on Mr. Robot. So there's some big names going into this, man. And I'm very, very intrigued by this announcement. Apple TV Plus might be the sleeper streaming service, man. There's a lot of quality on that. Foundation, the Macbeth movie with Denzel Washington, or Denzel, if you saw that short, you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, Metropolis going to Apple TV Plus, and then that's what we have for news. So we have suggestions. I'm adding to the notes, so pardon me, but these are the TV streaming suggestions. Metropolis, if you have not seen that movie, then probably watch that in preparation for the series. Don't know exactly how related they can be because of the distance and time, but still very intriguing, still a very good movie, so go watch that. And then the two that I have written down on the notes are Miss Maisel, man, we're halfway through this season, and if you're not watching this, you are seriously missing out. Some of the best writing on television, on streaming, anywhere. Amy Sherman Palladino writes dialogue second to none. It's fantastic. You need to be watching this. And then the Cuphead show over on Netflix, totally worth a watch. Really goofy, totally a turn your brain off and just veg out for a half an hour at a time or something along those lines. But yeah, absolutely fun and worth the watch. That is TV streaming. Before we go any deeper, nerds, I just have to get this out of the way. If you have not already, let the algorithm gods know that you like what's going on. Hit that thumbs up button. Do whatever the like is on whatever platform you're watching or listening on, because that is free and it really helps the channel a whole lot. That being said, let's get back to the episode. So let's get into movies now. Movies is one of the shorter sections. Actually, the shortest is the rumor mill, but we'll get there. So Beetlejuice 2 is our first piece of news. We don't have follow-ups. We do have a couple of trailers, but I just had to get to this first. Beetlejuice 2 is actually happening. How crazy is this? All right. So Beetlejuice 2, Brad Pitt's production company, Plan B, just announced that they are going to be producing this movie. And we kind of have little hints and stuff from the last few years with Winona Ryder and Michael Keaton and Danny Elfman all dropping little hints that, yeah, this thing actually is coming. And I just refused to see it because it's been rumored to be happening essentially since the early 90s, when they approached Kevin Smith to write the script for it back in like 96 or something. So yeah, very awesome, hopefully. But that is our only piece of news. Let's get into the trailers real quick. We have the new Fantastic Beasts 3 trailer. This show, or this movie rather, just continues to look more and more epic. It kind of makes you feel like they might be overcompensating for all of the trouble that JK has been in recently, but I'm not going to speculate on that. But yeah, totally, if you haven't seen the trailer, go watch it and tell me that that doesn't hype you up for this movie, because if it doesn't, you're broken. And then we have a new trailer for The Adam Project. This one is a lot more action heavy, so we get to see kind of a little bit more of the meat and potatoes of what this movie is going to be made of. I'm even more intrigued by that. So yeah, that this one also very, very much worth a watch. And then our final new trailer in the movie section is Morbius. We have the final trailer before the release on April 1st. This one could go either way still. I don't know that they're not giving me all the good pieces in the trailer. That's how I'm going to put that one. All right, so that's what we have for trailers. Now we have a suggestion, single suggestion. Movie's suggestion is going to be Amelie. So we talked in the last episode, I believe, one of the movie suggestions was a movie called Big Bug. Well, that comes from the guy who created this movie, Amelie. Amelie is, if you are a film nerd, Amelie is at once very quirky and also kind of a cinema 101 kind of, it just has so much style that the story is almost secondary to the style. It is probably one of the most beautifully cinematic movies you're ever going to watch. So that is why we're doing that. I'm sure you can find a dubbed version. I always watch the subbed version just because I kind of know a little bit of French. So I like to try and test myself that way, but it is in French. So be warned. And it's very great. Super quirky little comedy, romance. Watch it with a significant other because it is definitely a romantic comedy, and that is the suggestions. All right, so Rumor Mill, like I said, Rumor Mill is tiny this week, but we do have one confirmation. We talked about it in the movie section. Beetlejuice 2 is freaking happening. What? What? Oh, I really hope it's great. I really hope it's great because the first movie was so awesome. Tim Burton just has gotten only crazier over the years, and I think that's going to be a good thing. Only time will tell, though, but that's what we have for the confirmations. Now let's get into The Flash, because we have two rumors, and they both have to do with The Flash movie. Our first rumor is that Aquaman and Wonder Woman, Jason Momoa and Gal Gadot, respectively, are going to have cameos in this new Flash movie. I thought this was already established, so we're going to give this one an 80% likelihood, because at this point, the only thing that would surprise me is if they said, oh yeah, and Henry Cavill is also going to be here, which I feel like I did hear some rumblings about, but I couldn't find anything in so many words. So probably going to be in the next rumor mill. But then our other rumor is Joe Manganiello's Deathstroke is also going to have a cameo in this movie. This one seems like a little less likely of an option. It does seem like it is still definitely a possibility. Manganiello did recently post some pictures to his Instagram that are like, feel like he's doing something he did a little while ago for a character that he may or may not still be playing. So yeah, that one gives it a little bit of credence. It's also kind of one of the sources for this rumor is Joe Manganiello himself because of that style of information. So 65% likely that we will be seeing Deathstroke in the Flash movie because, I mean, they might be setting up a Batman situation. And that does it for this episode of Headlines Nerds. For a more in-depth conversation of comics and comic culture, then jump over to nerdylegion.com. Go see all of the podcasts we offer on the subject. Or if you want to go deeper into the conversation, you want more nerd news, you can join me on my personal YouTube channel, Generally Nerdy. Thank you very much, nerds, and we'll see you next time.